thankful for this privilege to hear from heaven, dear Lord God. These amazing people, they did not come to hear from me, they came to hear from you. So I thank you for a word in season, dear Lord God. I thank you that everyone has ears to hear what your spirit is saying. Father, I thank you, dear Lord God, that there will be a 30, 60, and 100-fold return on what's being sown right now. In Jesus' name, let all who agree with that say,
amen.
Amen. Repeat after me, please. These are our four core values here at New Day. Say, I will worship.
I will worship.
I will connect.
I will connect.
I will be equipped.
And I will serve.
Today we're going to pick up on part two of eyesight, living in the unseen. Living in the unseen. This is part two. And our scripture is 2 Corinthians 4:18. This is the second letter that Paul has written to the church in Corinth. Actually, it's his fourth letter, but we just have two that have been discovered. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. And verse 18 says this, so we don't look at the troubles we can see now. And I pray that that ministers to you right there, because many of you, you're faced with a lot of troubles, but you don't want to look at them. You don't want to gaze at them. You don't want to become beholden to them. And he continues by saying, rather, we fix our gaze. We fix our gaze. We fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. Well, that seems kind of strange right there. How can I see something I can't see? For the things we see now will soon be gone. And I hope that ministers to you also, because a lot of times we have our problems, our issues and challenges, and they're going to be gone. But the things we cannot see will last forever. Now, we know that he's talking about two different realms, the spirit realm and the physical realm. Now, we live in a physical realm. That's where we are right now. But the physical realm is a subset of the spirit realm. The spirit realm is a dominant realm. It's the one that existed before the physical. Now, what God did, he created physical property. He created molecules and atoms and all of that stuff. And that's what we're made of. That's why a lot, I think it's 90-some percent of us is the same thing as in the dirt. And he created that. Time is also a physical property because time can be manipulated. So God created time and then placed us in it. We covered that a couple of weeks ago, okay? Now, today, though, I got two things I want to address. Because I want, when I say living in the unseen, it's not just having a glimpse of fixing your eyes on it, but actually tapping into the spirit realm, since that's the dominant realm. I liken it to, you guys have seen like Law and Order or like cop shows when they get the guy in the lady in an interrogation room, and then you got the people on the outside, you know, looking through the window, and they're like, okay, look at him, let's get him, let's interrogate him, and you got somebody in there working him, trying to get him to confess or something. Well, when you're inside that room, inside what they call the box, you can't see the people on the outside, but they can see you. That's similar to where we are now. We're like in that box. God and the devil can see us, but we can't really see them. If you notice something, though, sometimes if you just adjust the light a little bit, you can see back through the other side of that. So it's the same thing here with us. I want us to get positioned where we can tap into the spirit realm and tap into it on a regular basis. So therefore, that if we can lead, because see, here's what happens, and I learned this, this is what happened with me. I grew up Baptist, and my daddy, who was a Baptist pastor, and others said that the gifts of the spirit went out with the apostles. God bless them. They were incorrect. They were sincere. They're sincerely wrong. Later on, I get filled with the Holy Spirit, meaning with the evidence of speaking in tongues, okay? I'm not here to debate. I'm just telling you what happened. And now what I thought was that once you get spirit filled, it's like, voila. I'm Tony Super Christian. I speak in tongues. I'm spirit filled. But the more I hung out with spirit filled people, and even for myself, that doesn't mean you're always spirit led. I know some tongue-talking fools that can out-rap Tupac, out-curse Biggie Smalls, and crazier than Kanye West. Whatever. And you spirit-filled. I've seen spirit-filled just act a fool in church. So just because you're spirit-filled doesn't mean you're spirit-led. And what I've learned is that usually you're still dominated by your emotions. See, you don't know how to manage your emotions. That's why you lose your mind. You do stuff. You throw stuff. Curse people out.
Here's a good one.
And I've had this happen two or three times. And you guys would bring guests. And somebody say, why would your pastor keep staring at me? And later on, you say, Pastor, you kept staring at my friend. No, I wasn't. I didn't know who was your friend. I'm the type, I don't single people out. If I got something to say, y'all know it. I come and tell you directly. I said, ooh, Pat, well, now that's biblical, Matthew 18, 15. You got an issue, go to the brother directly, okay? So it is, but my point is this, is that you need to know when the Spirit is speaking to you. And it can really help you. And I need you to stay with me because I'm gonna be on this series for a while. I'm actually pushing back some other November and December stuff. I want to give you all of this. I really do. So now this is not the time to go on vacation. It's not the time to miss church. I'm telling you, okay? Because I really want your 2019 to be different. Now, here on the bullet point, my desire as a pastor is not only for Christians to be Spirit-filled, but Jesus, help me, but also live Spirit-led lives. Because you're not spirit, you are led by your emotions, your personality style. You just, bless you, Jesus. Isaiah 57, 15, turn your hand out over, please. And now, this is Isaiah. Now, I need you to hear this. Watch this. Two things we're going to cover, okay? We're going to talk about humility and importance of it in terms of tapping into the spirit realm. And we're also going to talk about the demonic, okay? Isaiah 57, 15. I'm feeling this. Lavelle, do you have another chair over there with you? Right there? Minister Jim, can you bring me a chair, please? Because, see, when I start to get on my balls and my feet right now, I'm ready to run with this. And I need to sit down today. Because this is like, I want everybody to hear me. I don't want to preach. I want to teach this. But it's so full. And I want to maintain my emotion right now. Because I'm going to tell you something. I've learned some things. And thank you, sir. All right. You got a degree and you're strong. Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. All right. Let's sit tight and do this. This is God speaking. The high and lofty one who lives in eternity. Now, eternity means the absence of time. Time doesn't exist. There is no time. And I know you have a hard time getting your minds around that. I get that. But here's the kicker. There is no such thing as darkness, only the absence of light. Okay? I shared that with you before. There is no such thing as cold. It's just the absence of heat. Okay? So eternity does not mean something perpetual, never ending, and just going on and on and on and on. It actually means the absence of time. So where the place where God dwells, there is no time. And as I shared with you before, that's why he can see the end of something from the beginning of something, because he sees outside of it. So when situations happen in my life and they bother me or I question them, I'm not comfortable with them. And here's the kicker. It didn't catch God by surprise. So therefore, if he allowed it, it must be for my benefit somehow. The other thing that happens when we have adverse situations, for some reason, we tend to think it's all about us. And God is often working in somebody else's life. But because we're so hung up on us and how we feel, we miss out on what he's doing in somebody else's life. See, we're all interconnected. And it's not always just you. Newsflash. The high and lofty one who lives in eternity, the Holy One says this. Watch this. I live in the high and holy place with those. Oh, wait, who do you live with? Whose spirits are what? Stuck up, self-centered, all about me. And humility is something that a lot of us, now here's the thing about humility. Scripture says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. That means dying to self. It's not about you. Okay, so here's the kicker too. It's not about your insecurity either. You got to die to that. Those beliefs you have, that you're less than, inadequate, that has to go. I have to believe what God says. I can't believe what my experiences say. And that's part of humility right there, too. I can't live my life based on what my dad said or didn't say or my mom did or didn't do. I can't live like that because it's full of pride. You say, that's not pride. That's insecurity. No. Pride is just insecurity on steroids. That's just blown, swolled up pride. That's all it is. So my spirit needs to be contrite and humble. And here's the thing about contrite. Now, especially married couples, forget just being married. If you're dating, period. Listen to me, please. Hear me. And this happens. You think about it. If people, and I've learned this, especially with counseling, and you ministers hear me, and elders hear me on this one too, because people come in, most of them don't want their problem solved. They just want to be heard. Because see, the person they're arguing with at home, they got the issue with, that other person ain't listening either. And you know you're not, because you think about it. You be in an argument, and your spouse saying something, you're just waiting for a moment to jump in. You ain't listening to what they're saying. So there's no contriteness on your part. And then another thing that cracks me up is when people get busted, especially husbands that's been cheating, this is what happens.
You was out with Sally. I saw it in your phone. Why are you going to my phone? No, you're trying to defer or distract from you was with Sally. You're not contrite. You're not broken. You're not repentant. And the Spirit of God doesn't dwell in that. It doesn't. You know, Stephen Covey, and he wrote a book, a business guy, he wrote a book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And one of the habits, I think it's like number 3 or number 4, I forget, it says this. Which one is it? Lila's here. What is he, 3? Okay, he says this. Lila's like, which one? You ain't said it. Okay. She taught that to our leadership class earlier, to our ministers earlier. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. A lot of us, we don't want no understanding. We just want to be heard. I got to see it my way. And I love it. People come here to this church, other churches too, and it's like, well, it doesn't quite fit me. And maybe God is calling you here, but you're trying to be comfortable. Trying to be comfortable. And God is not interested in your comfort. He's interested in your growth and you becoming what he created you to be. So there has to be a level of contriteness and humble. And as he said, and watch this, read it again. I live in the high and holy place. Yeah, okay, you got it, in eternity, with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. So if you really want to tap into the spirit realm, it's going to take a level of brokenness on your part, a level of humility and submission. And I restore the crushed spirit of the humble and revive the courage of those with what kind of hearts? And many of us, we don't repent. We're not sorry for what we did. We're not. Well, I wouldn't have done it if you hadn't acted so ugly. And then your mama said what she said. Oh, your whole family, y'all. No, what? Hey, hold up. Repentant. There's a level of humility. And see, often we got that attitude that I need to stick my chest out and raise my voice. They better recognize who I am. And you ever wonder why hell keeps always breaking loose in your family, in your life? That little $2 attitude that you picked up in South Central, you need to put it back down or go get a refund. It's not working. And I know you're angry. I know you're hurt. But that's when I talk about being humble. That's when I say, you know what, Father, I'm sorry. I'm feeling bad right now. I need help, Jesus. I just need your presence. I need you to come in and minister to me because I'm so hurt, right? I'm so angry. I need you to help this, just take this away. I need to change. I need to be more Christ-like. But it really hurt me what my uncle did and what them boys said and what happened that time. And it really hurts me. But help me get healed over this. Jesus, you said you came to heal the brokenhearted. But no, we want to like, the next person says, okay. And that's why the addict, that's why your life, you don't change, so your situation doesn't change. You know, contrite, it means expressing remorse, you got to express remorse for what you've done. But most people are so focused on satisfying their needs. And pride, it makes it so hard for your spirit to be in tune with God. Okay, Jesus. Most people don't recognize how selfish they are, how self-centered. And one of the things that baffled me is when Jesus said, when God requires a sacrifice. It's like, especially Old Testament, Jack and I were driving yesterday and we were talking about, it was in Genesis, when Noah offered sacrifices after the ark, after the waters receded, and we're talking about animal sacrifices, and what's the point of an animal sacrifice, and when did that begin? And many people say, well, that's part of the law, we're not under the law. The sacrifices began before the law, okay? And even I believe that when Adam and Eve sinned, God took, he covered with the animal skins. Some animal had to give up the skin, okay? So the sacrifice for sin began way back then in the garden. But here's the thing about the Lord, and he gives. And then he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. It's all his. But if he's requiring of us, he gives us the cattle, then it requires of us to give some of the cattle back. Yes. It's like, well, that's like you've been an Indian giver, Lord. Now, I don't mean nothing derogatory, but that's an old term that we used to say in Louisiana. You give something and you want it back. No, it's not. It's just to get you in the habit of giving. Because, see, most of us, we don't want to give. 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 We, you know, out here at the church, we have a suggestion: give 10% of your income to the church. People are like, I got to give away. You know what? Why not? And I love people who get online and other stuff and argue, well, that ain't under the law in the New Testament or whatever. You know what? It's the biblical standard, because before the law was instituted, people were giving 10%. I can show you that. Then the law came. Actually, if it's under the law, it's like, I think it's 33%. Newsflash. You need to take some of our courses on the Bible Institute course, and we cover this kind of stuff. So here's the thing. When God gives, okay, he wants us to give back to him as really a way of making sure we keep our hearts from being selfish. Because you don't even want to give money, and you don't even want to forgive someone for the sin they committed against you or their fault. And we don't learn how to give, and that makes it still about us. And you wonder why you're not spirit-led in your life. You have to give. But our emotions make it so hard to give. They really do. And often our emotions would keep us where we're always in conflict with people. Always in conflict. And every blessing you're going to ever receive is going to come through the hands of someone else. But if you don't learn how to be in relationship, you're going to hinder what God wants to do in and through you. And then you want to isolate yourself, and therefore you wonder why everybody else seems to be moving with the Spirit. Now, when I say everybody else, now, when you turn on TV at 2 o'clock in the morning, and there's some guy on TV, oh, the Lord is telling me, somebody out there got $100, sow that seed. I ain't talking about that move of the Spirit. I don't know what Spirit is moving him. I don't believe in that. Bless them. Forgive them. Especially, yeah, anyway. One of the things I learned, Lavelle, can I have the photo up, please? This is Dana Point. It's something that I do, and I've done it in probably a good year or so. I'll take a day, I'll drive down to Dana Point. Sometimes I'll take a highway, a little twisty, windy road, and go sit out there on the rocks. And one particular time, I think it was the last time, maybe, I don't forget, a couple of times ago I was there. And if you look on your right, okay, you see the water, that's the ocean. And the particular day I was out there, the water was rough. I mean, it was just, it was splashing. And I was sitting there, and I was praying the Lord, just seeking the Lord, just trying to hear his voice. And it was about ministry. It was about New Day and what to do, the next move and all that. And as I was sitting there, I just got this something that just said to me real softly, look to your left. And I looked to the left, and the water's calm. And I just sensed that soon that's how your ministry is going to be. And see, when I talk about living in the unseen, that was just something I just sensed. And sometimes you just need to get still and get quiet. And I just sat out there and I got to ask the Lord. Now, I'm spirit-filled. We've done mission trips. We've been tithing since 2001, nonstop, never miss. In fact, we give on average, I think it was like 16-17% of our income goes to the kingdom. And that's not a bragging. That's not, don't let the left hand know what the right hand doing. Stop misusing that scripture. Listen. I'm just giving an example, okay? That's all. That's all, okay? And so, but there are still times I still need to go and hear from God about something specific. I need to tap into that. Lord, I need you to speak with me. Not just one particular day. I just need you to hear me. Another time, I'm down at Lake Elsinore. And in fact, I know this was more recent. This was before we moved into this building here. And I'm asking the Lord, Lord, we've been in the school a long time. And I'm sitting there wondering, like, Lord, is something open up? Because in the natural, you're talking about the scene, that was nothing open in Corona. And I know some of the members are like, we don't have a building, and what's going to hang on? What's Pastor Tony doing? You guys probably starting to wonder about that. I was wondering, too. I drive down to Lake Elsinore, something about me in the water, and I sit there. And all of a sudden, I'm praying about the ministry. Lord, is this, am I missing anything? Phone is right in front of me, rings, and the caller ID said Pastor Fred Griffin. I can count the times Pastor Fred has called me, like random, normally he'll text. I pick up the phone, he said, hey, I'm sitting in my house praying, and the Lord spoke to me about you. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, he wants you to know your ministry is fine and everything you're doing is okay, that he hasn't forgotten you, and something's about to open up. See, that's. Now, see, I'm in a relationship with another pastor. I didn't isolate myself. We're not in competition with one another. We both have majority African-American congregations. But we exchange ideas, share with one another, encourage one another. I didn't isolate myself. I didn't operate in fear and insecurity. Everything I know, he knows. Everything he knows, I know. And so therefore, the Lord spoke to him and speak to me. That comfort that came. And that's important when we talk about tapping into the unseen. Now, let's talk about this humility for a second. Go to Daniel chapter 10, please. Daniel chapter 10. Now, let me give you a little backstory on this, because this is humility in action. This is humility on a whole nother level, okay? Now, the children of Israel had entered the promised land. Remember, they left Egypt and went through the Red Sea, went through the wilderness. After not going to the promised land the first time, they danced around the mountain 40 years. Then finally, they went into the promised land. They kept sinning, kept sinning, kept sinning, kept sinning, kept sinning, kept sinning. And God kept warning them. And then eventually, he said, you know what? He allowed the Babylonians to come in and take them over. So now they're in captivity. And it's been a number of years. And this is Daniel, who was a young boy at the time when he was held captive. He's older now. And this is where we pick the story up, okay? Verse 1. In the third year of the reign of King Cyrus of Persia, Daniel, also known as Belshazzar, had another vision. He understood that the vision concerned events certain to happen in the future, times of war and great hardship. So he gets this vision. Verse 2. When this vision came to me, I, Daniel, had been in mourning for 3 whole weeks. Here's going back to just taking time to fast and pray and humble yourself. We have to humble ourselves. Humble ourselves. Verse 3, all the time I had eaten no rich food, okay, no meat or wine crossed my lips, and I used no fragrant lotions until those 3 weeks had passed. And that one kind of worries me. No fragrant lotions. Dude, must have been stinky. Your wife probably put you out the house, Holmes. Like, man, boy, you smell bad. Okay, verse 4. On April 23rd, as I was standing on the bank of the great Tigris River, I looked up and saw a man dressed in linen clothing with a belt of pure gold around his waist. So he had an angelic visitation. Verse 6. His body looked like a precious gem. His face flashed like lightning, and his eyes flamed like torches. His arms and feet shone like polished bronze, and his voice roared like a vast multitude of people. Now, here's the thing, too. Remember, you're seeing something supernatural. You're trying to understand it, but you can only use natural terms of things you're familiar with. Okay, keep that in mind, okay? Verse 7, hear this. Only I, Daniel, saw this vision. The men with me saw nothing. But they were suddenly terrified and ran to hide. They heard a voice. They got out of Dodge. But some people can't tap into the spirit realm. Now, 2 weeks ago when I was here, we talked about Elijah. Remember his servant went out and saw all the town was surrounded by the enemy and with all the horses and chariots. And then Elijah said, Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes. And then there was these angels. The chariots were around Elijah. And I talked to you guys, too, about how divine protection happens when you humble yourself under God, okay? Verse 8, so I was left there all alone to see this amazing vision. My strength left me. His friends ran from him. Okay. My strength left me. My face grew deathly pale, and I felt very weak. Then I heard the man speak, and when I heard the sound of his voice, I fainted and lay there with my face to the ground. Just then a hand touched me and lifted me up, still trembling to my hands and knees. 11, and the man said to me, Daniel, you are very precious to God. You are very precious to God. Why did he lead with that? Why did he lead with that? You're very precious to God. 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 I think sometimes we forget that. So listen carefully to what I have to say to you. Stand up, for I have been sent to you. Now, this is a blessing here. He's been sent. An angel has been sent. An angel has been sent. When we talk about tapping into the unseen, you see Daniel's level of humility, and an angel has been sent. I need an angel sent to me. Now, I can choose to stay ignorant. I can choose to stay belligerent. I can choose to stay ugly. I can choose to just, and get all that. Or I can humble myself, be contrite, get and seek the Lord's face and have an angel sent to me. It's just a level of humility. I don't have to have the last word when I'm talking to Jackie. I don't have to win the argument. In fact, I just quit arguing. I'm trying to understand what she wants and what she's saying. When he said this to me, I stood up still trembling. Verse 12. Then he said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, watch this. I began to pray for understanding. I'm praying for understanding. I need you to see this. Hear me, okay? Praying for understanding. Praying for understanding. Do you pray for understanding? Do you pray, Lord, help me understand my spouse? Lord, can you fix her, please? from the first, okay, now here goes the time thing, okay? Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. So you pray, it's heard in heaven. Watch this. I have come in answer to your prayer. But for 21 days, say 21 days. The spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia, that's a demon. That's assigned to Persia. Persia is Iraq, Iran, Mesopotamia, that whole area over there. There's a demonic presence that resides over that area. Got it? I need you to hear me. Okay? All right, cool. Then Michael, one of the archangels, that's the good angel, okay? The spirit prince, that's the devil angel, okay? Then Michael, one of the good angels, okay, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. So there's a war going on in a spirit realm. Okay, your prayer goes up. The devil tries to stop the prayer from being answered. I need you to see this is what goes on in the unseen. Now, for 21 days, 21 days is a long time to you. It's like this in the spirit realm. Got it? Okay, 14. Now I'm here to explain what will happen to your people in the future, for this vision concerns a time yet to come. While he was speaking to me, I looked down at, and I'll deal more with the vision some other time, okay? While he was speaking to me, I looked down at the ground, unable to say a word. Then the one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing in front of me, I am filled with anguish because of the vision I've seen, my Lord, and I'm very weak. How can someone like me, your servant, talk to you, my Lord? My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe. Then a man who looked like a man touched me again, and I felt my strength return. Watch this, 19. Don't be afraid, he said, for you are very precious to God. Told him again. Faith comes by what? And sometimes now Daniel is in a difficult situation because he's a captive. This is ugly. He is under a regime that's just not godly. And sometimes we find ourselves in situations where those above us, they don't know God. But God said, well, put us in those situations. And sometimes we're called to be in those situations so we can introduce God to them people. I was at the city council meeting the other night. It was ugly. A lot of atheists out there. And they were saying stuff. It was intense. Verse 19, don't be afraid. He said, for you are very precious to God. Peace, be encouraged, be strong. As he spoke these words to me, I suddenly felt stronger and said to him, please speak to me, my Lord, for you have strengthened me. 20. And he replied, do you know why I've come? Soon I must return to fight against the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. And after that, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Greece is going to come. So I bring this up for two things I want you to see in this. And there's so much in this passage. One, he was humble. This is how he gets an answer. For many of you, you refuse to back off your need, your argument. Get rid of the anger and the frustration and just stop. All, you let that go. That's why you can't hear. Now, I want you to tap into the unseen, but you're so bitter. You're so angry, and you're so hard. It's not working for you. You call it protecting yourself. You keeping God from you. Prince of Persia left. Then Greece was coming. Over every region is some kind of principality of power. Now, look, please, in Ephesians. Not on your note. Write it down. Ephesians 6, chapter 10. Ephesians 6:10. Now, we're having harvest night here at New Day. You say harvest night. Now, when my kids were growing up, and I need you to listen to me, okay? Pastor Todd, I'm going to have to switch service because I'm going to go a little bit over now. Okay, so when my kids were young, we didn't celebrate Halloween. Now, when I was a kid, I celebrated Halloween. I mean, we dressed up, went out, got all the candy we could. And we were in fact, I didn't do it, but my friends would snatch other people. The friends I grew up with, they would go snatch other people's bags. Compton, boy, I tell you. Trick or treat, yeah, okay. Come back with bags of candy, ain't knocked on Nan door. But as I got older and began to understand the things of the spirit, I recognized that is the height of demonic activity in the world, October 31st. So when I got kids, we ain't doing that. We ain't giving out no candy. And I was so hardcore. We nothing. And then so my mother, I remember the first year she asked the boys, what y'all going to be for Halloween? And my youngest son, David, we don't celebrate Halloween, Nana. And they're like, y'all don't? And my daddy and mama, they were, you know, church people. But they didn't understand. I ain't playing with this demonic. I don't do it. We don't do demonic in my house. Okay. So then we get to my former church, Zoe, and they got Hallelujah Night. Hallelujah Night. What is that, Pastor Ed? And so it was an alternative for the kids to come. Well, I'm still holding. We ain't doing, I ain't going. But then something happened as I began to evangelize. When the word, I need you to hear me. The word of God says, go into all the world, preach the gospel, and make disciples. Go into the world. Now, and the short version on this, I began to have a different attitude. Then later on, I came on staff, and I was in charge of, guess what? Harvest night. I changed it from Hallelujah night to Harvest night. Because I'm thinking people in the community, they know what Hallelujah is, and we're trying to win the communities. So we created an environment where we would get hundreds of people that normally wouldn't come to church. They would come to our church on that night. And then we advertised it as an alternative. We preach safety. And everybody would come home to church. We had the carnival, the popcorn, the candy apples, and all that kind of stuff. We had the ponies. I had chickens. I had stuff. Yeah, I had a lot of stuff. And what happened is one year we set up this we called it something. It wasn't haunted house, but we called it something where the, what was it?
Hell house.
Hell house. Thank you, Elder. And so it's like, so people like, they still think it's like not scary for them. No, we don't know. But actually, they went through this thing and it showed them hell, and the way to avoid hell was salvation. And it showed them heaven. So we were getting people saved left and right, left and right, left and right. So that is the reason, so I began to embrace Harvest Night. So then later on, we launched New Day, and we didn't, so we didn't have a building, so we weren't doing Harvest Night. You know, it couldn't, you know, it just wasn't happening. So then last year, I totally forgot. You know, we had a building, and it was like last minute, let's put something together, and I didn't get a chance to really teach on it. Well, this year, I thought I would really address it. And the reason we're doing this is because we're not going out in the community. The community is coming to us. Yeah. Last year, we did have it, and we had people that started coming to church. I also had somebody come to my office who was in a hellacious state in his life. This man was so messed up with drugs and everything else because he saw that Wednesday night. He saw it here, and he came by for a few minutes and wanted to know, what church is this? So he came, and I had a chance to minister to him, a young guy. So now, there is the demonic side of Halloween. Now, I need you to understand this, too, and tying it back into Daniel. I need you to understand a hierarchy, and I'm going to have to pick some of it up next week, but here we go. Ephesians 6:10, it says this, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. He says, the final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. 11, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. All strategies. The devil has a strategy, okay? He has a strategy. As a strategy. Why does he need a strategy? He's strategic. He has a plan. Now, he's militaristic. Watch this, verse 12. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood. That's the scene. And many of us are still fighting against flesh and blood. That's not who your problem with. It's the spirit behind that person. That's where the spirit, the problem is. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but the unseen. We're fighting against the unseen. That's against the evil rulers and authorities of the what world? Yeah. They live. They're alive. They're real. Just as real today as they were back then. Against the mighty powers in this dark world. There's a mighty powers. Power means authorities. Okay? And against evil spirits in the where? Yeah, that's what we're fighting against. But often, we don't know that we're allowing them to influence us when we get those attitudes. Let me have the, Elder Kelvin, get ready. We're going to do an offering just in a moment, okay? Look, stood up. Sit down, boy. Sit down. Okay, let me have an amplified version of verse 12, please. 12. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents. I need you to see this. Is this real? Please. Demons are real. But against despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits, there's hierarchical. Like we got generals, lieutenants, and all that. It's the same thing in the demonic realm, and they exist. And one of the demonic principalities over America is this spirit of independence. We celebrate the rich guy, the self-made man. We idolize him. And it's funny how, but anyway, that's a whole other deal. But if you look over in the Middle East, and over there right now is the highest rate of women's suffrage, is the highest illiteracy rate, is the highest, the beheading, some of the men that I've had a chance to show you that, real beheadings, where you steal a loaf of bread, they would chop your head off. I got pictures, video of this. Put your head on your back. It's crazy over there. What demon principality do you think is sitting over those nations now? And they're all surrounding Israel. I need you to come to the interest meeting on, you guys, even if you're not going to Israel, come the next Sunday night, next Sunday night at 6 o'clock. Come, I need you to come 6 o'clock. Here. And we're going to have some trainings about Israel as we move forward on Sunday evenings before the trip. Because I want you, when you go, I want you to get this kind of stuff. I want you to understand what's happening. See, for us, we think, we look at Kanye West and meeting with President Trump, and we think the world is coming apart and what's going on in the world. And that's such a small myopic. I need you to really begin to understand how the devil is operating in your life. You can sit there and judge everybody else, but you don't seem to see how he's infiltrating your life. I need you to understand that, how he's getting in. That's why your kids are acting up and stuff is out of order. There's things you need to do to not give place to the enemy. I just want you to win. That's all. That's all. And I need you guys that are creative. Well, I like to dress up. Halloween is sweet. No, it's hell. And I got to tell you, as your pastor, you don't want to give place. Well, we've been celebrating, ain't nothing happening. You don't know that. He has a strategy. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. It just breaks my heart. I'm meeting with all the elders and pastors and ministers. We're getting away. Praise team, can you come up? Yeah. We're getting away. I don't know. We went away soon. December? Okay. And I'm really going to work with them on meeting the needs of the people. You got to get the enemy out. And one of the best ways is learn humility, brokenness, contriteness. You got to get healed. Enemy loves trauma. You and your husband, y'all living together, but y'all ain't together. Get him out your house. Get him. Get him out your children's life. Because, see, you're not covering your children. And that's why your children are acting up. And it's because you got to. Okay? And hear me. I love you. It's not criticism. And working on my delivery and how to do it more, I don't know, gingerly. Put some sugar on it or something. I don't know. I just care. That's all. I just care. I just care. I just care. I just care. I've had some of your children call me. Y'all need to stop drinking. It's just a little wine. Y'all need to quit drinking. The marijuana, I don't care if it's legal. Y'all need to quit. It's medical. Stop lying. Because here's the kicker: when you do that, you get high. That's when you open up your mind, and that's when he really enters. Because the battle is in your mind. It's in your thinking and how you think, and you develop strongholds. I just want you to win. He's smarter than you. He's been around a lot longer than you. You've been on this planet, what, 30, 40, 50, 60 years? You ain't that bright. He's been there since creation. One time in the book of Job, God said, where you been, devil? He says, to and fro upon earth. You know, it's to and fro, to and fro, to and fro. He's looking. He watches you, and he lays in wait. He just lays in wait. He's patient. He knows he'll get you. You do something today, he going to get you 5 years down the line. And you just skipping along. I'm scot-free. I got away with it. Bam! Bow your heads. Father God, we thank you. Lord, help me. Help me, Jesus, to pass these.